The mic on? I'm sorry. Paul was writing these words to Timothy, and he said in a lot of different ways, Timothy, here's what you need to know at an early age. And someday, if you don't hear about this, you'll wish you had known about it sooner. And so today we're going to talk about the concept of training versus trying. But before I get into that, here's a video to kind of set up what the series is all about. And I totally skipped a song, didn't I? I think I skipped a song. You can listen to it later this week if you want to. Let's dig into the message. And so just to get things started, I know that when it comes to my life, and maybe your life too, there are plenty of things that you wish were different. And sometimes these things come to mind in January as you start a new year. But there seems to be different categories. So a lot of times there are things just with your physical health that you wish were different. And so you maybe set a goal, I want to get healthier, I want to lose some weight, or I want to gain some weight, or build some muscle, whatever it might be, and you say, I wish I was healthier. Sometimes those areas also have to do with financial things. Wish I had more money, I wish I had less debt, I wish I had a better plan, and so you kind of wish that you had the different things going on financially. Another area is relationships. I wish things were different with my relative. I wish things were different with my neighbor, and I just wish we were in a better, healthier place. So there's lots of different areas, and we could keep listing them, but I think you kind of get the point. And I'm sure if I were sitting down with you over coffee, you could probably tell me your own things. I wish, Pastor Matt, I wish this part of my life were different. I wish this part was a little bit better. And if I was being honest with you, and if it's okay for me to challenge you a little bit, I might lean in and I would say something like this. I'd say, well, if you want things to be different, why aren't they? To which, if I was asking myself that question, or you, probably give an answer like this. Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to change my physical health, but it doesn't help that Trevor brings donuts to the office every Monday, and man, I walk by him, and I resist, and then I walk by him again, and I just eat half of one, and then by the end of the day, I've eaten three of them. I'm trying, but Trevor is just getting in my way. And by the way, if your name is Trevor, I'm sorry, I just don't know everyone in the church. And so you're like, I'm trying to get in better shape. I'm trying. It's just really hard. Or if your thing is finances and you're like, man, I'm trying to get out of debt or I'm trying to save money, but as soon as I pay off one bill, it's like I got three more that just come in out of nowhere. I'm trying. Or if you have a relationship thing and you're trying to build a bridge between you yourself and someone else. You might tell me, I'm trying to forgive them, but as soon as I build up to forgive them, they just do one more thing to make it all fall down. I'm trying to forgive them. I'm trying. So I use that phrase quite a bit. When someone challenges me, like, why aren't things different? I say, well, I'm trying it. And here's the thing, maybe I even inject God into my trying. Like, I'm trying to forgive them, but why doesn't God change their heart a little bit so it's easier? Or I'm trying to be better, but God isn't doing anything about the circumstances. I'm leaning on God, but he's not helping me through it, or he's not helping me with it. So we have this idea of trying, and I love how author, pastor Craig Groeschel put this in his book called The Power to Change. He put it this way. When it comes to finish line areas, in other words, goals that you could have in your life, Christians tend to have a theology of trying. We live by the idea of trying. We think we can get where we want to go simply by giving more effort. Yet when that's our approach, we set ourselves up for failure. Trying doesn't work. Training does. And we all know what the bigger idea is that if you're going to run a marathon, which I've never done, and if you have, hats off, it's very impressive. If you ever want to run a marathon, you can't just show up at the start line and say, well, I'm going to try really hard. In order to do that, you need to train. If you want to have a healthy, life-filled marriage, you can't just show up at the altar and say, I do, and say, I'm going to try really hard to be a good spouse. It requires training. And for me, I'm a visual person, and so here's how to visualize the difference between trying and training. Trying means whatever it is, so it could be relational, financial, spiritual, whatever it is. You've got your goal, and if you say, I'm going to try, it means you're waiting until the moment, and you say, as soon as Trevor brings donuts to the office, I'm going to try really hard not to eat them. I'm trying. And the same thing with any other area. As soon as I see something I want to buy, you know, you're on Amazon to buy a $5 toothbrush. They've got many recommendations of other things. I'm going to try not to buy anything. Or whenever the person you're trying to build a bridge with offends you again, I'm going to try to be nice. I'm going to try to be patient. You're waiting for the moment to exert more effort. But here's what training is. Training is looking at the bigger picture, and it's asking, what can I do today to help overcome this thing tomorrow? And what we know is that with the most important things in life, you don't want to leave them up for trying. Ultimately, we need to be in training. So the more serious you are about a goal, the more important it is to stop trying and start training. And so far, you don't need to be a Christian to recognize the wisdom in that. The most important things require us to set aside trying and instead give ourselves over to training. And in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gives young Timothy some really important areas of life where God doesn't want to leave it up to trying, but instead he wants us to be in training. And so throughout the course of the message, what I hope I accomplish for you is that you can walk out of here with maybe some understanding over an area of life where you should stop trying and instead start training. And I'm going to show you what God's word says about that as we dig into these sections today. So we're going to jump into 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 6. And Paul had just told Timothy about the importance of keeping his people away from false teachers. Oh, be aware of these different ideas out there about God and how to be right with him. And Paul says this, if you point out these things to your people, by the way, Timothy was a pastor in Ephesus. And so Paul said, if you point these things out to your people, to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. In other words, Timothy, when it comes to the way you guys live your life, there are certain things that are absolute truths. You'll be a good minister if you point these out to the people and focus them on these things. And then Paul continues with this. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. I actually looked up the Greek for old wives' tales, and it's literally old wives' tales, which I'm not entirely sure what that means. And so I was talking to Pastor Dan this week, and he assured me there are no old wives here at Faith, and so we don't even need to get into that. So thankfully, we don't need to understand. But the idea is don't pursue things that are meaningless or empty or uncertain because we have something so certain when it comes to the truth about who God is and who we are. So don't focus on things that aren't important. Rather, train yourself to be godly. That word train is an interesting one. The word train is in the Greek gymnos, which is where we get our word gym or gymnasium from. And some of you might know this. But gymnasium, or gymnazo, the Greek word, means to throw everything off and pursue your goal. So like for runners in the first century, what they would do is literally throw everything off, because that means less wind resistance, and run towards your goal. Which if, so in today's world, we don't do that, but professional athletes have very tight clothing that has no wind resistance. So you get the idea. You are so focused on the goal, you're willing to take everything off and just run toward it. And you have to be really dedicated for your goal to train. And so Paul approaches Timothy. He says, I want you to train, not for a race. Train to be godly. Train to be godly. And he explains why. Physical training is of some value. I highly recommend it. It's good for you. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You can be in the best shape of your life, and something will happen that you have no control over, and your physical health is taken from you. But when it comes to godliness, that's something that will never be taken away. And so Timothy, what I wish I'd known sooner is that you should be in shape, take care of yourself, but even more important, train to be godly. Hold that out as your goal. And so here's two things to keep in mind. Make godliness your goal, and then make God your motivation. God, and we'll talk more about what godliness looks like in the next sentence, but the importance of this is there's going to be so many different motivations in your life. For example, why do you want to be in better physical health? There's actually a one time I was asked this question in a group of pastors. So like 10, 12 pastors sitting around a table, and we were talking about ways to set goals and live godly lives. And the leader of the group said, well, why do you guys want to be in good health, good shape? And there was one guy who raised his hand. He said, well, I work with youth a lot, and so I want to be able to keep up with them and play with them. And they're like, oh, that's a noble reason to want to be in shape. Another guy raised his hand. He said, well, I've got, you know, bad genes. My dad and my grandpa, all there's just bad health in my family, and so I need to focus on my health. Oh, that's a good reason. That's a good thing. And another guy, another pastor raised his hand. He's like, I want to look good for my wife. And we all had a chuckle, and that pastor might have been me. But there's a common answer that all of us gave. Why do you want to be in health? Or why do you want to be in good shape? The reason was temporary. If you want to be in shape for your kids won't always be kids. If you want to get in shape for a marathon, there will be a day when the marathon is over. If you want to look good for a wedding, the wedding day will come and go. But if God himself is your motivation, that will never be taken away from you. I want to honor God who said, my body is a temple of his spirit. I want to treat it accordingly. He is my motivation. I want to honor him with my finances, with my money, with my wealth. I want to treat it as if I'm just borrowing it, because I am. I want to love and honor the people in my life as if Jesus gave his life for them, because he did. Godliness is my goal, but my motivation is not me. It's him. And in this next verse, he starts to explain what godliness looks like when you pursue it. And it starts off with an important point. He says, Paul says, Timothy, you, man of God, flee from all this. And all this, we're in chapter 6 now. All this includes like searching out temporary things like wealth and thinking money can make you happy. If you read all of chapter 6 if that's something that isn't interesting to you. But Paul says, you, man of God, flee from that. Get rid of that and pursue a different goal. And what he's about to say all hinges on these three words, man of God, or if you want, woman of God. Because the reason why you do what you do is because of who you are. Now, I'm not a marathon runner, so I'm not going to train for a marathon. Who you are determines how you train. If you're not married, you're not going to train to be married or train to live as a married person. If depending on who you are, it shapes how you train. So what if you believed this? You said, you know what, I'm not a pastor, but I am a man or a woman of God. How would that change the way you train? And here's how Paul talks to Timothy. He says, first of all, Timothy, since you're a man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. Because, Timothy, you are the kind of person who does what's right even when it's difficult. That's the kind of person you are, Timothy, man of God. You're also the kind of person who pursues godliness because your faith in God is not about a set theology. It's not just head knowledge, but your following God expresses itself in the way you live your life. Because that's the kind of person you are, Timothy. Your faith flows through your life. Also, Timothy, pursue faith. You've been given certain gifts, and you're the kind of person who is faithful with whatever God has given you. And while you do that, you also hold on to God's promises by faith, trusting in him. That's the kind of person you are. Timothy, as a man of God, you should pursue love because when it comes to the way you live your life, you don't force people or guilt them into doing what you want. Rather, Timothy, you're the kind of person who reflects the kind of love that God gave you. And Timothy, pursue endurance because the things that drive you are not temporary. The anchor of your faith is in unchanging eternal truths. And because of that, you have endurance to keep going for the long term. And gentleness. Because when God saved you, Timothy, he did not do it with fear. He did not compel you to change your life or else. But God came to you with gentleness and grace. And he transformed you with his love. And so it is with you, Timothy. You're the kind of person, when you interact with people, you are known for your gentleness. That's who you are. So who are you? Who are you when it comes to the kind of life you live and the kind of things you pursue? Maybe as it is with Timothy, we all need to be reminded of who we are. You are a man of God, a woman of God, redeemed by God with the blood of his son, Jesus. Because of that, it changes the way you train. I love this next verse. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. He says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, eternal life isn't something you've got yet, but still Paul says, hold on to it. Don't let it go. You can live in eternal life right now, even though it's not yours yet, and that will shape the way you view yourself, and it'll shape the way that you train. Fight the good fight. And then finally, Paul closes with this idea. How long is this supposed to go for? How long do I need to fight? When will I cross the finish line? When can I start eating Trevor's donuts again? And here's how he ends. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and in the sight of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. So in other words, inside of God who gave you life and inside of God who has entrusted with you this good message of your sins forgiven, here's what I tell you, Timothy. I charge you to keep this command, keep training, keep pursuing these things without spot or blame until, and here's where we have to set our own finish lines. Do this until the relationship is healed, or do this until you're saving for your retirement, do this until you see a certain number on the scale. We set our goals, and those are good to set, but your training doesn't end there. Paul goes on to say, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. Forever, as long as you have life, keep training. When it comes to the most important things that God calls you to, don't try. Be in training. And the goal is not that people would see us, but Paul even shows us what that finish line looks like. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. The finish line is not about you getting the trophy or the award. It's about glory and honor going to God. So, number three, following Jesus means a lifetime of training. Directing our attention toward him, godliness the goal, God being our motivation, and seeing how the way we train reflects the kind of person we are. Now, I'm going to put a bunch of numbers up on the screen, which might not mean much to most of you. Maybe a couple of you might get this. So it's not a mathematical thing, so don't try to find like a, you know, an way to make one become the other. But does anyone kind of know what these are? So at least for me, when I was in high school in the 1900s, when I was in high school, I was in the high school wrestling team. And these numbers reflect some of the different weight classes that a person could be in. And the way it works is this. So in any given weight class, let's say 120, you had to weigh no more than 120 to wrestle in that weight class. If you weighed in at 121, you would not be able to. The other thing is that with each team, so with your high school team, only one person could wrestle at each weight class. So you kind of had to figure, you know, where's everyone at, and try to work together as a team to fill as many of these weight classes as you can. And so I'll never forget I think it was my sophomore year. We had gone through the first few weeks of practice, and we had kind of determined where everyone sat on the list, and I was planning to wrestle at 145, the 145-pound weight class. And I was doing just fine, but the week of our very first meet, I was just so nervous. I did not want to be overweight. I didn't want to mess things up for my team, and so I wasn't eating very much. I was definitely hungry, drinking lots of water, which does not fill you up. And so we get to the very first meet, and I step on the scale. And the number, I can't remember exactly what the number was, but I think it might have been like 139 or 140, well under my weight. But my coach was right there. He says, "Matt, wow, did you try to lose weight? What's going on here?" And I don't know why I said this, but I was playing it cool. I'm like, "No, I didn't try to lose weight at all." He's like, "Really? Because we could really use you at the 138 weight class." So for the next couple of months, I was trying to make weight at 138. And for a boy going through a growth spurt in high school, that was not a fun thing to try to do. It was miserable. And I know that some of you have been miserable trying to train for something that you're not. Because no amount of trying or training can change who you are. Now, I had wonderful coaches. They had grace for me. They realized that, okay, it's not going to work. And so they brought me back up. But sometimes we put ourselves through unnecessary suffering. Maybe you look at someone else and who they are, and you decide you're going to try to be them. Or you've even trained to be them. But it was miserable. No amount of trying or training can make you who you're not. And the same is true when it comes to how you relate with God. Our natural default when we consider the holiness of God is we need to try to be more like him. And people in Jesus' day, there were people called the Pharisees, they were actually training to be like God, and they thought they had crossed that finish line. And so Jesus, as he was talking to people, he had to be very open with them. He said, you can't try or train to be who you're not. And so one day this man came up to Jesus, very good man. He said, Jesus, what do I need to do to cross the finish line, to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus set the bar. He said, keep the commandments, be perfect. And the guy said, well, I've been doing that, which he hadn't. Jesus didn't, you know, argue with him. The man said, I've been perfect. Jesus said, all right, well, I know something about you that you might not know. You think you meet the weight, but you don't. And if you really want to meet the weight, then go sell everything you've got, give it all to the poor, and then come follow me. You'll have life. And he went away sad. And the disciples were watching this. They're like, wait a minute. This guy's been so good, so wealthy, so successful, and if he can't make it to heaven, who can? Jesus said, finally, someone asked me the right question. The disciples were more amazed. They said to each other, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, because you cannot try or train to be someone you're not. And you and me, we are not perfect. And that's the important thing to keep in mind. When you're pursuing a goal, remember who you are. You're a sinful person. No amount of training or trying can change the way God sees you. With man, this is impossible, but not with God, Jesus said. All things are possible with God. So as you think about your own goals this week, it's so important to remember what the goal of Jesus. You know, he came into this world, and what was his goal? His goal was a cross. His goal was suffering in such a way that we'll never understand, because it was more than the physical suffering of being executed on a cross. It was the spiritual burden of our guilt that was placed on him. And yet he trained for it. He pursued it. He let nothing get in his way, but rather Scripture points it out like this. It said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he did what none of us could do. He offered a payment for the sin of the world to make us what we were not. That leads us to our final thing to think about, to consider for today, that we get to train according to our calling. Don't train to be someone you're not. Train to be whom God has called you to be. And as you think about your life, it's going to be different for each of us as we apply that. Are you a son, daughter, mother, father, grandparent? Look at your career, you look at your neighborhood, you look at the people God has placed in your life. We each have our individual callings. But as you pursue godliness, with God as your motivation, think about living out your calling as a forgiven and loved child of God. And so maybe this week you can be more aware of the times you try to say, well, I'm trying. Why aren't you meeting your goal? I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm trying. What if you replace that with a mindset of training? Instead of saying, I'm trying, you say, I am in training. And I'll give you one example of this, and then you can take it and do with it what you will. Let's say that your goal has been to forgive someone, which I would say is a very godly goal. That's a great thing. You've been trying to forgive someone, but it's like they just keep doing more and more things, and so you're trying, you're trying, you're trying. Maybe this month, put yourself into training instead. And to train to forgive someone looks like this. For 1 week, you write out all the passages of Scripture that talk about forgiveness, and you just write them out in a journal or in a piece of paper. Or maybe you type them out if you want to type. But you take the time to write out or type out those passages that deal with forgiveness. And you think about them. And then the week after that, you make a list of all the things this person has done to you. And maybe different things come up each day. But there was that one day they did this. Or the way they make you feel. And as you do that, you keep in mind how you've assumed, what you've assumed about their motivations. And so you take a week and you write out what they've done to you, the cost they've incurred. And then on the third week, you write out what God had to forgive for you. And you count that cost. Maybe that piece of paper will be a little bit longer, a little bit bigger than the other ones that you've been filling out. But you write out not just the sins of your past that God forgave, but the sins you still wrestle to let go of. And then, maybe week four, you find in yourself something new. You haven't been trying to forgive them, but you have been in training. So what does that look like for you this week? To set aside the phrase, I'm trying, and instead to adopt this mindset of training. Remember, to do it according to your calling, living out this identity of being a loved and forgiven child of God. What an amazing thing. And the older you get, the more you think, I wish I'd known that sooner, that the most important things in my life, God doesn't want to leave up to chance or to trying. But we get to live a life in training. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, as we all have a chance this week to think about our lives and what we wish was different, there might come to mind some things that we've been trying to do, which we should stop so that we can start training to do. And only you know the things in our lives that need to be addressed. And so would you give us the wisdom this week to give that some prayerful thought and consideration, to set aside the mindset of trying as if our effort can do anything, and instead to go into training, pulling from your power and your identity in Christ, so that we can live out of that. Give us peace and comfort, knowing that we don't have to earn or become someone different than we are. You've made us someone different through Jesus. What an amazing gift. And so I pray that you would transform us this week as we stop trying and start training, all for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.